Welcome to the Orlando Lady Boss Podcast. I'm your host, Diana Griffith, and I'm a content writer, business coach, and owner of the Orlando Lady Boss Podcast. Thank you for listening to the episode. If you like what you hear today, please go to iTunes or Google Play and rate this podcast. That's how other people like you can find the Orlando Lady Boss Podcast and hear the amazing stories of Orlando women that are featured here. So please share the love and amplify others' voices by giving us a 5-star rating on iTunes or Google Play. Thanks so much. Now let's get on with the show. Hi, welcome to episode 37 of the Orlando Lady Boss Podcast. I hope everyone had an awesome Thanksgiving with friends and family, or at least you just got a little bit to take a break and relax and refocus, and so we can hit the rest of this year strong, finish out 2017 strong, and go into 2018 with an awesome plan to make next year rock. And this is our last interview of the year. I want to let you all know I'm actually going to have one more episode of 2017, and it is going to be an overview of some of my favorite moments from the podcast this year. And if you have some favorite moments, please just contact me via Instagram or Facebook. I'll put out a ask on both of those platforms, and I would love for you to share with me what was a favorite episode or a piece of advice or anything from the past year on Orlando Lady Boss. Now let's get on to who our interview is with today, and that is Nicole Dupre with Opera del Sol. Nicole reached out to me a few weeks ago to talk about her new opera company, Opera del Sol, and it is a really fascinating, I love what Nicole is doing. She is taking opera and trying to make it sexy, and I do want to let you know, when I talked to Nicole originally, she had not done her first performance of Opera del Sol, which was Opera Wars, that happened this past weekend, the Friday and Saturday, right after Thanksgiving. And after my conversation with Nicole, she really made me want to go see her show. And you'll probably listen to this in this episode and think, okay, when can I go see something that they're putting on? And I went and bought tickets to go see Opera Wars, which was their first show. And we saw it on opening night. And let me tell you how amazing it was. I went with my husband and my in-laws. And I am not the biggest opera fan, but I had so much fun watching Opera Wars. There was so much going on. It kept my attention the whole time. And even the opera songs that you hear during the show were songs that I was familiar with and I enjoyed. And I even found myself humming opera the next morning when I woke up. And that is something I would never say that I would do. So thank you so much, Nicole, for really sharing your love of opera with me and letting me experience what some of that love really feels like, because I left that show on Friday night on such a high. So let's get on to the interview so you can hear a little bit more about Opera del Sol from Nicole. And as soon as you can go see a show, please, please, please get out there and go see one for yourself, because it is so amazing. But I'm going to let Nicole do a lot more of the explaining about what Opera del Sol is all about in this episode right now. Welcome, everyone, to the show. Today, our guest is Nicole Dupre, and she is the founder and executive director of Opera del Sol. Welcome to the episode, Nicole.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about Opera del Sol and what it is and what brought you to that idea.
Opera do Sol was really founded on my background as a hair and makeup and wig designer and working in the performing arts here backstage for the last 7 years. Mm-hmm. And I fell in love with opera just, you know, by, you know, getting brought on to be, mm-hmm. you know, the designer of the character looks and things like that. And in the last, you know, a few years, in the last 25 or so operas that I've done, I started to realize, like, I wanted to kind of blend, you know, together, you know, what I loved about opera, mm-hmm. and what I thought about what was cool about opera with our community. I was realizing that we were, you know, I get brought on to do a show and, you know, it would always be set in like 1700s Italy or, you know, farmers or, you know, just like very traditional. And I was like, well, that's not necessarily cool or hip or sexy, mm-hmm. but the stories and the messages that they're delivering really are. Mm-hmm. And so I just thought, well, wouldn't it be really fun to take what I always think are the really magical parts of Orlando and blend them together with this classical art form, mm-hmm. and just, you know, say, hey, yeah, we can be cultured and hip and cool and still like opera and classical mm-hmm. music, you mm-hmm. know. I just think it's not being delivered in the right way that might not be getting some of the new audience, you know.
You're hitting the nail right on the head of what turns me off from opera a little bit, I will admit.
Right.
It's the, it feeling like it doesn't connect with anything that's going on. I mean, the music is beautiful. The show is bright and colorful a lot of the times, but I just, it's hard for me to pay attention. And I love musicals. I love theater.
Right.
And it's just, so when I, and we'll talk, we're talking about one of the shows you're developing, which is Opera Wars. Or it came out right around Thanksgiving, just at Thanksgiving weekend.
Right, exactly.
And I love that concept. It's so cool. Like, I'm really excited to
Thank
see
you.
That because it just takes all of these modern day concepts. I love anything where you can take modern day ideas and popular things and then merge it with old techniques.
Right. And that was definitely my goal and what was kind of in the back of my head for an idea that I had for well over a year. Because I kept thinking, so the cool thing is, you know, for each show that you do, you work with, say, on average, mm-hmm. 10 to 20 performers. And mm-hmm. with the joys of social media, then they go back to their prospective cities and you start to see what productions they're doing and you start to get inspired by what's trending and what other cities, you know, maybe bigger cities are doing. And so I started thinking, well, you know, shows should be shorter. For anybody that's never been to an opera, I don't think you're going to make a newbie fall in love with a 3-hour show,
yeah.
you know? So what are some of these really cool, like, I would be telling my friends, like, each show that I would do, I'd be like, oh, well, you know that one song.
That's right? Exactly, so I've gone and seen one opera, and it had the Anvil song in it, and I can't remember the name of the opera now, but.
Right, it was probably Barbara of Seville or Mayor Topeka from Looney Tunes, you're probably saying?
Yeah, that song.
Right.
and that was how it was sold to me, but it's one song in a whole show, and I agree, so you're waiting on that one song and it feels like this build up for, oh wait, that was it, and then this moved on.
Right. And so what was the idea behind Opera Wars was like, okay, well, what were some of like my favorites or some, and then even adding in a couple of Broadway songs, but mm-hmm. What are some of my favorite songs or what are some really animated cool ones to deliver? And I knew that I wanted to set it like an outer space, you know, mm-hmm. kind of rely on my special effects background. And I know a lot of really great artists, you know, our makeup designer on this show, her name was Melissa Duran, and her assistant Rocco, they really brought the skills and helped us take these singers and transform them into these like other beings. And
the pictures are awesome, and we'll put some in
cool.
the blog post that goes along with this, so viewers or listeners can go and see what the makeup looks like, because I've been seeing it on social
awesome.
Media in the last couple of days, and it looks so cool.
And so it was really cool to like be able to be like, okay, these are kind of these vignettes, and be able to then give the performers the ability to be creative. And mm-hmm. so that's been one of like my other way of falling in love with this art form is just being in so close proximity to these performers, you know, mm-hmm. over the years. They come to me in their blood, their sweat, their tears, you know, I thought, you know, really as a performer and as artist myself, I know that if you can, why not be able to give that perform, you know, that the ability to perform it the way you've always wanted mm-hmm. to perform it. Be creative and let's mm-hmm. make this whole season and this whole company about, like, you know, collaborating and mm-hmm. just putting our best foot forward and showing the magic that's, like, here in Orlando.
That's amazing. I love that. So can you tell us a little bit more, because Opera Wars is the first show that you have coming out this season. So can you tell us a little bit more about that show and how you came up with the idea and what it's like for the viewer or you know, to come and experience the show.
Right. So really what it was this very, I wanted to create this very immersive theater experience. So I've been very fortunate to have a lot of really cool friends and be around and inspired by a lot of really amazing people within the city. And you see over the years, what are the really cool things that really define who we are as Orlando? And you see that, like, the Orlando Fringe Festival is, you know, really shows, like, I think who we are. And mm-hmm. and what is another really great thing, Orlando Halloween Horror Nights, you know, that makeup and everybody going there and flocking to that and knowing that we have a lot of those artists locally and then Star Wars and space. I mean, I think that's, like, really cool. So I started to think, like, why not set something, you know, in out of this world and, mm-hmm. and being able to take a production and take little pieces and little nuggets of what I've fallen in love with over the years.
It lends well to the melodrama that opera has.
Right.
Space and all of those very familiar space dramas that we already know.
Right. And I'm not classically trained, you know what I mean? I'm just literally just a humongous fan of the city and a humongous fan of the performing arts and just super passionate about wanting to help evolve this art form. And we are a city that's growing and building and still kind of, I think, figuring out our identity.
Yes.
I mean, we have so much construction, so it's hard to say, like, this is who we are until, like, these next couple of years when we're still building, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, I'd love to be one of these people that's part of that change in that group, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just think that right now our average classical music goer, you know, is over 70. Mm-hmm. But this city, and we're 35 to 45 in downtown, you know? Mm-hmm. So what is it that they love? What do they like to do? And so once I started putting this out, you know, people from, like, the Sac Comedy Club and people, you know, that are really big into hip hop and things like this. And we're like, well, how can we merge these different art forms and, you know, still loving classical music and, you know, I feel like I'm going off on a tangent, but still making it super cool.
I love that. No. Because to me, it's so funny because I love all different types of art forms. But mm-hmm. when we get to more of the very focused classical stuff, I glaze over. And my husband is, like, the exact opposite.
Right.
He'll sit there and listen to, and he's not religious, but he'll listen to choir music.
It's soothing. It's beautiful. Yeah, those notes are in.
And I agree. Like, I listen to it, and I'm like, this is beautiful, but it's not something I want to go listen to for as long as he would.
Right, but a few minutes are mixing that into, you know, remixing that or adding, you know, to the backtrack of something, you know, make a spoken word. I think that mm-hmm. there is a way to merge them and to collaborate without feeling like we have to compete and that it has to be this frou-frou stick our nose at each other while we try to deliver it when we still all love it, you know?
Because I think, too, it's stigmatized of, like, oh, well, that's not for young people, exactly what you said. So a few people have decided we don't like opera, so no one likes opera.
And exactly. And maybe if I would have done it again, I wouldn't have put Opera del Sol, you know. Mm-hmm. Opera just has this preconceived idea that it's just going to be this, you know, always. And it really is. It is in another language and that mm-hmm. and people think they're not going to like the story and they're not going to understand it. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, again, we don't have to do the entire show, the whole 3 hours. Because mm-hmm. a lot of times that music, you know, in between those famous, you know, those famous arias was really just strictly written for scene changes or, mm-hmm. you know, for, you know, the, you know, costume changes and things. Yeah. So sometimes you can take those bits out because it's just fluff.
Yeah.
And if, you know, these stories are kind of, you know, timeless, like something mm-hmm. like a, you know, there are stories that are very similar to, like, Romeo and Juliet that can, you know, are about timeless love that can be set from cavemen to space aliens, like we're doing, or, mm-hmm. you know, it's all about, you know, love, sex, betrayal, you mm-hmm. know, oppression. I think if we just pick the right stories, and there are 300 years of worth of stories.
Yeah.
And an art form that's constantly being written. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody that I'm super inspired by, his name's Mark Campbell. He has written 5 premieres this year.
Oh, wow.
There are a lot of really great pieces that are out there, and mm-hmm. and a lot of great pieces that I would love to do, you yeah. know, like moving to next season and stuff. I have ideas of doing, you know, operas that are set in baseball fields and mm-hmm. that, you know, that talk about, you know, the civil rights movement and, yeah. you know, and
that's awesome.
Things like that. So
that's really, really awesome. And I was thinking, too, when we're talking about instrumental music in general, and not opera has a lot of instrumental music in it.
Right.
Like you said, the transitions and stuff. But you said that and it made me think of all of these things that are really popular right now. People will go, like, the Dr. Phillips Center had these Harry Potter, where it's, like, literally
exactly.
a live orchestra with a
exactly.
movie. And it's just, how are you taking this kind of classical idea of music? Because those are, someone composed that music, just like someone did 300 years ago. It's just,
exactly.
it was applied to a modern movie, and so now the music is modern. And how do you take that idea and make it for a modern audience? Because when something's good, it can last generations.
Mm-hmm. And I really believe about curating it based upon the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not Washington, D.C. We're not New York City.
Mm-hmm.
We're not L.A. So I think that picking those stories and picking the music and
mm-hmm.
picking those movies, you know, mm-hmm. what you will, that Orlando is going to like, that
mm-hmm.
Central Florida is going to like, that the Space Coast is going to like, depending on where we want to pop up. Because to me, it's almost, I do kind of want to take the you know, this particular art form out of the Performing Arts Center for
mm-hmm.
a while so that people can, you know, take it to the people, you know, make it dirty, take it, you know,
uh-huh.
take it somewhere where we can start to fall in love with it. I think
mm-hmm.
that, you know, we're not going to get the audience that we want when they're not already coming to the performing arts to see us.
Yes.
But if we can pop up at, you know, a mega church in St. Cloud and sing music that's you know, that that community likes, or
mm-hmm.
that if we can, you know, like pop up in downtown Orlando and,
mm-hmm.
and do something that's different with the Improv Comedy Club, or do a curated art show that's based on, you know, the really cool B-side artists that are in town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it that speaks to us as Orlando? Because I think at the heart of my mission and what I'd love in a few years for people outside of Orlando to be talking about our classical music and
mm-hmm.
to be like, wow, this is, you know, Opera del Sol is inspiring me to really pump up my social media because, you know, she's, you know, they got 800 views in one day on their
mm-hmm.
video. And, you know, that's kind of, I think, just changing it and being new and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and being inspired by what's around you.
So
you know?
What are some, I mean, you mentioned a church and you mentioned some ideas. So are there some creative places where you have already had performances with Opera del Sol?
No, not yet. Opera Wars is our very first one,
okay.
you know.
And so does that take place in...
Well, it was inside the, you know, the Abbey. You
uh-huh.
know, it's a cabaret theater, but what we're doing is we're creating that immersive element where we added the food to it, and
mm-hmm.
we had the singers come off the stage and added the stomp dancers
awesome.
That entered from the back of the house, you
mm-hmm.
know what I mean? And just really took it just, again, off the stage, into
mm-hmm.
the audience, and did this crazy, outlandish... alien makeup so that when you're, you know, 2 or 3 feet away, that you're being drawn in by more than just the beautiful music,
yeah.
you know? I think that the music is easy to fall in love with, but I kind of want to, you know, tease everybody with other elements as well. So moving forward, we'd love to just do things that nobody else has done. And I think
mm-hmm.
that maybe, you know, I want people to see me as, like, again, I don't have this class. I'm not classically trained in music. I just fell in love with it.
Yeah.
And to trust me that I love the city and that I think that there are parts of this that I think we can
and
really fall in love.
And you're listening to what other people want.
Right.
You're curating what is being asked of you as you're growing this organization.
Right. I mean, there are some really great pieces out there. There's new pieces called, like, The Summer King that is about this real gentleman named Josh Gibson that played for the Negro Baseball League. So it's about his life. And
mm-hmm.
and his tragedy and I think that those that particular story could really appeal to a really great amount of people within the community,
mm-hmm.
you know, from people who might have a similar story or might be baseball fans, and
mm-hmm.
we can keep that immersive element and pop it up into a baseball field by still delivering an art form that could be, you know, a conversation starter.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other ones out there about boxing in the 1960s as well,
mm-hmm.
and I just think there's, like, not to mention really cool traditional pieces. We really hope to do Sweeney Todd this spring and and possibly Madame Butterfly maybe next year, but in a way that nobody's ever seen, you know? And I think it's beautiful music. And if we can keep the music the same and deliver it in a new way, like, I want us to be known for that.
And that's what's really fun about art, right, is you can take these pieces and interpret them in the ways that you want, that you see the story through, you know, and even at different points in our lives, the stories tell different, the music and the art tells different stories to you depending on where you are at that time.
Right. We can be cultured. You know what I mean? Like, why not have a beer and listen to a baritone? You know what I mean? Or, or pop up at Lou Gardens and, or, you know, play with a silent movie or something like that. Like, I think there are different ways to take this and, and just to deliver it. And that's kind of my goal, you know?
Awesome.
And I want to collaborate and do things that are neat. Let me pop up at your office and, you know, hire us to go sing to your wife, you know, to say that you're sorry. Or, you know, let's do a comedy and sing children's stories, you know? I think that there's something that could be kind of new here.
Yeah, there's so many different applications. I can totally see your vision of where there's all these different ways that you could apply this concept into different places in Orlando for different reasons.
I mean, imagine that string of that violin. Like, I mean, no matter who you are, that violin by itself can be so sexy. And then you take a voice and only that voice, and it doesn't need a microphone. And if you pop up in the right atmosphere and how it can echo off the walls and really you can watch a performer and may not know exactly what she's saying, but her acting and the pain and that she can still play within her voice is something that's just, that can be really new and different, you know?
Yeah, that's
and
awesome.
And sexy, you know? That's my whole mission, is to hashtag make opera sexy again.
I know, I've been seeing it all over social media lately, so that's awesome. So where did your passion for this come from, this love of art, and, you know, why did you decide that this was, like, the path that you were ready to go on?
I know, it's kind of crazy. Well, about 10 years ago, I decided that I always have loved hair and makeup and things like this. And so I decided that I wanted to become an esthetician. I have my stepmother and my dad have been married for 30 years, and she is from Tokyo, Japan, and she was an esthetician in Japan. So she kind of always taught me the importance of nutrition. I spent a lot of time with them growing up, nutrition and skincare and things like that. And she always had this classiness about her. So when I had the chance at 24 to go back to school, once I got my skincare license and I applied for a postgraduate scholarship and won the scholarship to the International Dermal Institute and just kind of took my skincare knowledge a little bit farther. And that really gave me a really great resume to then start applying for various jobs. And I've had a really cool history of meeting really amazing people along the way and getting a chance to take what I've learned and expand it into this career that not anybody else is doing. I don't know. I had a chance, like, right after I got this degree to work at a local cosmetic company. And then I took that. And once I spent a year and a half kind of interning and apprenticing underneath an artist there. And then I had a chance to kind of, I think really one of my first big things was working with Jim Hobart with Macbeth Photography about 9 years ago when he started Macbeth Studios in downtown. And we started to do these first Friday photos and we started to meet all these people. And I started, you know, really saying, okay, I'm going to pursue makeup full time. And where else can we do this? And then I met people with the news station. And then those people, the news station, that worked on those cameras worked on independent films. And then, you know, the sound guy then worked in theater. And then, you know, I decided to take a special effects class and then volunteer backstage. And it's been kind of amazing how makeup really here in this town has really been the catalyst to my love of the city.
And it introduced you to the art community. Uh-huh. Were you involved in arts or theater or anything like that in high school at all?
I wasn't. I mean, I've always kind of been, and I always loved music. My mm-hmm. grandparents, my parents were in the military, so I spent a lot of time with my grandparents growing up, and I probably saw Phantom of the Opera more times than mm-hmm. I can count, and classical music really, I guess, is very therapeutic to me. It reminds me of my childhood. Mm-hmm. And so when I did start going backstage, it just kind of felt, again, very nostalgic, maybe. Mm-hmm. And these stories were, you know, I started falling in love with the stories, you know, mm-hmm. like these stories, you know, Puccini had this love of women and women, these very strong, you know, female characters that were being celebrated for their very strong emotions, whether they were, you know, dramatic or not. And uh-huh. and it was just so amazing to be around these talented people that were portraying these characters, and that I was that person that was help them from, you know, take their talents to, you know, they, mm-hmm. you know, an opera singer is really hired based on their voices more than what they look like. Mm-hmm. So I feel that transformation process that we go through is really dynamic.
See stage makeup, it's so, you can see it, especially an opera actor, they will look so different in person. The opera we saw because my husband's cousin was the stage manager at the show, and they let us backstage afterwards, and they look totally different when you get them up close. It's amazing what can be done with makeup.
It was a really cool and amazing process. You know, it was one thing to do bridal makeup or to do, you know, a client makeup. It was another to read this story and then almost have to paint this picture on someone's face, as you will, kind of, you know, because it was more, you know, it was a collaborative effort with mm-hmm. the, you know, I read the story and then I would see this people's faces, you know, just by a picture. And then we'd go in our production meeting and then meet with the costume designer and the director. And then you finally meet that person in real life. Then you test out the makeup look and the wigs and the prosthetics and the mustaches, what you will. And then you bring it together and you bring it out on that stage, and then you have to go through the lighting and it's this, you know, how big is the theater? What is it going to look like from the first row? What is it going to look like in the back row? And it just has been this amazing love affair of falling in love with it, because I have that one position that gets to work with every single person within that organization. And I fell in love with the production crews and the stories and Mozart.
Hey, ladies, I'm so excited to interrupt this episode to share with you a sponsor for our podcast, Kit Life Planners. If you are anything like me, you have to manage multiple priorities every day. And what is one thing that we talk about on this episode? Getting help so you can keep everything together. That's why I want to encourage you to check out kitlife.net. Because the women of Kit Life are just like us. This is an Orlando-based women-owned business, providing specialty day planners and coordinating products that will help you make the most of every day. Their planners are so beautiful, and they have so many customizable options for you, like interchangeable clip covers that allow you to change the exterior look of your planner to suit your mood. My particular favorite is the one that says, "Just a girl with a dream building her empire," because that's what I'll be doing in 2018. And I hope you will be too. And you can totally customize it with other things like quarterly check-in pages, budget add-ons, and goal setting pages. Plus they have tracker stickers that come in a variety of themes that you can add to your planner as you need it. I'm particularly excited about the social media trackers so I can see my social media grow in 2018. Plus, they offer a host of other accessories and even some fun apparel. So check out kitlife.net because they'll have you covered. And just as an added bonus to listeners, add Orlando Lady Boss into the comments when you buy your Kit Life planner and get a few samples of the tracker stickers for yourself. For photos, reviews, course content, and other free resources, check out kitlife.net and become a kit girl today.
What you said to me it resonated with a lot of what we've talked about this year over the podcast with many women. And it's, you went out there and you started building this community around you of people that were passionate, that you were driven by.
Right.
But you kind of naturally went that direction because you said you could have easily gone into the wedding
exactly.
and makeup route, but that's not the direction you ended up in because decisions you made over time brought you into the theater world. And probably because those decisions made you happy every time that you made that decision.
Exactly.
You felt more fulfilled creatively, whatever those things were. And so now you find yourself with all of these ideas to do something different.
Exactly.
Like Opera del Sol.
And it all
comes from the community first, which is why you're so community driven, I'm imagining.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, like with Jim Hobart, and we started doing those first Friday photos, and we would have this really cool opportunity to meet, you know, 20, 30, or sometimes 40 people every first Friday of the month, and then, you know, get hired then to come into, we would do law firms and, you know, advertising agencies. And I mean, I literally have met hundreds of people through him, you know, mm-hmm. and then I really feel like one of the reasons too, I went into the field of skincare and makeup is I'm almost a feeler. It's almost like that, I don't know, when they come to me with that, they're most nervous, they're most vulnerable. It's mm-hmm. it, and we go through that transformation process. It's something that's really, like, really, mm-hmm. you know, deep to me. So it just started to become like, okay, well, what else, you know, can we do in this community? And you meet this person and that person. And I got to go through the Mayor City Academy and mm-hmm. meet so many more people from different branches of the city government and got to see, well, what program can I do here? Where can I volunteer here? And, mm-hmm. and that just really, I think that building your community and those relationships are the most important.
Yeah, and it sounded like you started looking for, like, where were the gaps that you could help out.
Right.
Because that was kind of how I felt, too, is I kept going, why isn't there more voices of women in Orlando? Why can't we have more? And I went, oh, maybe I should start doing it.
There you go. And then
you just do.
And it's scary. So stepping out and being like, okay, it's been the most terrifying thing that I've ever done. But it's also, it's very, very rewarding having so much support and people to say that, you know, maybe in some way that I'm inspiring them or that when it's been really, you know, these last 7 years or so that I've been, you know, an actual designer within the performing arts community, that it's been like, you know, I've always been inspired by others. And mm-hmm. really, it's just, you know, not just by the women, but also, you know, like, Cole Naismith from,
mm-hmm.
I mean, Creative City Project. What he's done, you know, with Immerse just showed you that. Look what how he grew that in the last few years, because there's a need in that collaboration and that art. Mm-hmm. And I think that really speaks for who we are. And that's kind of how I wanted to take, you know, not just opera, but classical music and change it. And
I think that there is definitely there's an artistic community that is like I don't want to say underbelly, but like underlying here in our city, because there's so many of artistic types that are needed to feed into the theme parks and all the entertainment that we have here. But they're crying out to do other things because there's other things that are needed. And all we needed was you all to get together and start collaborating with each other and to have opportunities from outside of the artistic community to give space to allow those things to happen. And I think that we're seeing both of those things happening, both in visual and performing art, but in both visual and performing arts, you know, mm-hmm. in music and all over the place. That's why we're seeing these amazing things coming out from, like you said, the Immerse Creative City Project. Mm-hmm. What you're doing here is really cool. And just all the different very artistic forward-thinking pursuits that you see happening. You've been really inspired by everyone in the community, and so mm-hmm. you feeling like this is you giving back. But what has the community given to you through this process of starting Opera del Sol? Where have you seen, okay, I've made an impact in the community, and now they're helping me build this thing up because they believe in me, they believe in the idea.
Oh my gosh, the amount of people that, I mean, between, you know, like I said, City Hall, the city of Orlando, you know, mm-hmm. because I really feel like I've gone out of my way to be like, okay, what can we do? Where can we fit in? What can I, you know, and just...
Well, I saw that you have, if you guys go to Opera del Sol's Facebook page,
mm-hmm.
you can see a little video of you and Mayor Bettis Dyer, which is
That was really, that was really great. You know, again, I'm always trying to volunteer in with, you know, the mayor's book club. We're part of that. Opera del Sol is going to be one of their volunteers for the year for every one of those. And went through the Mayor City Academy, which is coming up again in March. So if anybody wants to, you should totally apply for that. And I met so many people within the city government. And then I think that was just one of those things, like saying, like, listen, like, I really care about the city. Like, this is, I'm always here. I'm always doing this. Like, and so I just got a lot of advice and a lot of encouragement. And I'm just like a cheerleader. Hey, can, you know, you luckily, I mean, look, you lead by example. I mean, look at Mayor Dyer. He's everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, whether he's at a mosque or a t-ball game or you know, an assisted living facility. I mean, I think we all, if you don't follow him on Facebook, he seems to be everywhere. So why not kind of follow in those footsteps? So I was... I've been in touch with City Hall, and we were very fortunate to get the mayor to do a social media video for us. And I think that had a lot to do with Andre Bailey and John Bustecker from The Collective, Orlando. And they've been huge mentors for me, and they, you know, they've got a great relationship with Mayor Dyer as well. So they've helped me with videos. And so, you know, anybody that is with the show, that social media can be a really great tool. Look at Beth Hobart and
Well, we've had Beth on the show.
Right.
We had Leanne Bustecker on
the show. Oh, my God. The both of them with their social media and pushes it, you know, what and the things that they want to do. And how can you not be inspired by women like that?
Yeah.
I mean, look at Leanne, again, using her art form to create conversation. And who would have thought by dinnerware and bringing people around a table and by, you know, art that's meaningful, you know?
Yeah.
I think that that's, how can you not be inspired by people like that? And then say, okay, well, if you make the plate and she makes the food, can I bring the music? Or who's going to make that table? Or, you know, and, you know, who's going to, you know, mix that drink? Like, those are real things. And if we can start, it's like, wow, like, we can all create this wonderful event, and each and every one of us can have a part in it.
Yeah.
And saying, okay, I'm going to reach out to my contacts, you reach out to yours, and let's all collaborate and do something together. And I mean, really, Orlando United, unite, like, that just really shows, like, how many of us want to help one another, you know, in all aspects. Yeah. And you were saying, what does the community, it's just like, I told you, like, I did an event at SAC Comedy Club, and the artistic director's like, okay, let's meet next week. How can we get together and do something at SAC Comedy Club? And then, again, I'm inspired by, like, Chris Castro and you know, the Ideas for Us.
Yeah, the Ideas for Us guys are,
you know, and I'm like, okay.
So much, awesome.
And we have so many, we have sister cities, and I'm like, well, what can we do? Can, you know, how can my art combine with yours? And what, there's
you're
just
really
so many.
You're really talking to a lot of the, innovators in the city and seeing how they've done it and then taking those ideas and then implementing it into this art form that you've created.
Right.
Which is amazing.
Thank you. I think it's just about just partnerships and what can we do as a whole to make the city better and have an impact on its identity. Like, I don't, you know, I think a lot of the best part about it is we want to create art, not just for art's sake, but about, again, how does it unite us and how does it bring us together?
Why do you think art is so important to the city landscape? What does it provide to the citizens, maybe not just those big thinkers that are in the city, but to the everyday person that's just trying to get through with life?
Right. Well, I think Orlando is a really big melting pot. I mean, really we are. And I think that, you know, music and our stories are really, they can be kind of like a neutral, music can be like a really neutral way for people to come together, you know, that, you know, an Italian, you know, Ari or something that could have been in a commercial, in a movie, or could have been, you know, something that your grandma liked or that you played at your favorite restaurant growing up. Those are those moments that, oh, maybe this can be a nostalgic thing bring people to come together.
You're totally making me think of something, because I've been, in the last few weeks, I've been reading through this old journal of mine, and I would write whole songs that obviously resonated with me, and songs that I didn't necessarily remember, that they're not in my rotation right now. And I remember pulling this one song up, and it just brought me back to that space. It just, I was just there in that moment of everything that song encompassed. It just held a memory for me, like you said, like, and just You're saying this, and I'm imagining someone just, like, walking by on the street and then hearing this thing, and they're all of a sudden back in that place that they didn't realize that they were missing.
Right, and I think that there's some of these particular songs talk about such deep-rooted emotion, whether it's, like I said, love or even hate, or pain. And I think that if you can deliver that in the right setting, mm-hmm. like it can really move someone. We mm-hmm. can sit there and, you know, I would love like to have an Italian dinner at Maxine's or something, mm-hmm. you know, Maxine, if you're listening, please talk to me.
Right.
and just sing some of what I think are the most beautiful Italian arias and then combine that with food or, mm-hmm. or pop up in, like we were just saying, Chris Castro, or pop up in a garden. Mm-hmm. You know, there are some really cute, you know, lighthearted Mozart pieces, mm-hmm. you know, that are fun and light that maybe in a spring we could pop up. Or mm-hmm. I want to do something and show maybe that like the sexier, you know, side of classical music and have like a festival that's like not your grandma's mm-hmm. classical music, yeah. you know? There are a lot of really cool groups out there, like the Black Violin. Like mm-hmm. they're these two guys that grew up in Harlem and they play the violin and they play with rap music. And sometimes I went to see them at the Plaza last year and they had a DJ and a drummer and just the way they broke down on the violin, because to me the violin is one of the most beautiful, sexiest sounds in the world. Mm-hmm. But then to take that and to play some Drake on it or to play Mozart. Yeah. And be able to, you know, have them mix it right then and there into a song that can, you know, get people dancing. And you're like, wow, you know, they are playing a Mozart song right there. But this entire, you know, venue right now is on their feet. And, you know, why not be flexible yeah. with our methods when at the end of the day, we really want people just to fall in love with Mozart and classical music and yeah. opera. And
why are there rules to art anyways?
I know. That's what I'm fighting. Yeah. That's what I'm fighting here, Diana.
You and I are on the same wavelength, because I remember, and I ask this question all the time to people, so I remember sitting in a literature class going, who gets to decide what literature is?
Right.
Who gets to decide? Because I don't like this stuff.
Right.
You know, and so it's like, who gets to decide what art is? Well, you get to decide what
exactly.
resonates with you.
Our community gets to decide, like, I mean, who are we? What is, you know, the U.S. Census says that, you know, the downtown resident, again, like 35 to 45,
yeah.
you know, why are those people that are walking on the streets not in the seats right now? Like, mm-hmm. what is, that should be a big concern to the Orlando performing arts community. Like, yeah. you know, the classical, we don't want these classical art forms to die, but we want to get a much younger crowd that really speaks to who we are. Mm-hmm. And I want to have both the generations there. It's not yeah. only about catering to one generation, you know. It's about getting those and getting those millennials. And what are we going to do? Are we just going to be snotty and yeah. let them continue to think that opera's not cool?
And
or
build a love
are we going to fight
art.
For it?
Because it's an introduction, right? You're building mm-hmm. a love. Because maybe 20 years from now or even 10 years from now that you already established a love, then they are going to go seek out maybe one of those more classic opera performances. Once they've established that, hey, this is something I like and I can like it and I can enjoy it. And hey, what else is out there that I can enjoy and consume as part of this new love that I have?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And so if they're not even exposed to it, they don't know what they're missing.
Exactly. That's what I think has been the biggest uphill, you know, battle for me starting mm-hmm. is, you know, it's fighting the preconceived, you know, ideas of what they think it is, mm-hmm. and they don't know what we're trying to do yet.
Yeah.
So that's why it was like, great, okay, we got this one show under our belt. Now we can kind of show everybody what
yeah,
we can do. And
definitely.
You know.
And it's the advocacy part of you're an advocate for opera.
I'm trying to cheerlead. I always say I'm opera's biggest cheerleader. I can't sing and my Italian's really bad, but I can't speak Italian and my singing's really bad, you know. But I'm a cheerleader for it, and I love these singers and these performers and that the whole process of coming together and thinking, wow, this was, you know, what was Mozart thinking? You know, this woman was so beautiful that he would, you know, that they would kill for her. This, mm-hmm. you know, what were they thinking? What did this person look like? What was, you know, the setting? What costume were they wearing? Or what were they trying to make people feel when they wrote yes. that? And how can these stories, I mean, really, I think we can make them touch people and feel something.
I definitely agree with you. So the last question I have for you is, what's a piece of advice that stuck with you over the years?
Ooh, that's a good one. A piece of advice that stuck with me over the years. Really, don't give up. I mean, it sounds like, I mean, so crazy. And, or actually, you know, or just keep, I don't even know. My parents were Marines, so just always keep going, you know.
Yeah.
Or like ever since, you know, Finding Nemo, just keep swimming. Yeah. Just never giving
up. Just one foot in front of the next one.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. and that's, it's been a really tough year, you know, not just starting my own business, but, mm-hmm. you know, I just this year, and you just keep going. Yeah. Just keep going.
I think, you know, you're our last interview of the year, and oh, I feel awesome. Like a lot of women have said kind of the same things over uh-huh. here. It's been a rough year. I feel like for a lot of us women, it's been cathartic to kind yeah. of talk about the fact that we've had a rough year and all the yeah. things. But there's so many, like you said, you're doing this. Orlando Lady Boss, this is our first year, too. Great. And it's just amazing to see what the women in Orlando are doing. You know,
right.
Because of this need to want to contribute to something bigger than themselves.
Exactly. And I think that's, you know, something my family, it's, you know, they're not necessarily, nobody's really opera fans, yeah. you know, and it's just really like, I keep saying, it's just like to have an effect on our city, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To imprint on the community to help to make something as a whole better.
Yeah.
And just like you said, bigger than ourselves. Like mm-hmm. this isn't about me.
Yeah.
Like I'm just the cheerleader. Like I just want to be the person that brings everybody together
mm-hmm.
that says, okay, I know this person. I think you're cool and you know how to do this and you know how to do this. Let's swirl it together and make something.
And there's
cool.
a lot of importance in that person who can see all the pieces and figure out how to put them together. Because maybe no one else would have come up with this idea. And now you're here putting this amazing thing out into the city. And really, you get a chance to shape what opera in Orlando means, which is a very, very cool thing. So can you tell us, are there any upcoming shows that we're going to see before the end of the year?
Yeah, we have on December 10th, so just mm-hmm. coming up next week, we have The Messiah, mm-hmm. And it's The Messiah Sing-Along, and it is free, and we are going to be doing that down in St. Cloud. There's a big mega church down there called the St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church, mm-hmm. and on December 10th at 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m., we're doing The Messiah Sing-Along, and that's, like, family-friendly, and it's get everybody in the holiday spirit, mm-hmm. and again, like I said, it's free, and so we want everybody to come down there and mm-hmm. join us and, you know, help us raise a little bit of money for the holidays mm-hmm. and just get everybody to kind of, you know, just sing along and sing these beautiful pieces. And Space Coast Symphony Orchestra will be playing the music, and we'll be partnering with Orlando Light Opera, which is, another light opera organization within town. And again, it's just, we are collaborating on that to show too that, like, we can collaborate and don't have to be a competition here
yeah.
with, you know, at the end of the day, we love it, and it's great to kind of be like, okay, we're sisters, we're family, like, when can we collaborate together and do something cool, and why not this thing, you know?
Yeah.
They, you know, they have a lot of, that particular organization has a lot of church connections, and you were just saying with your husband's days with the, you
yeah.
know, the choir music, like, okay, well, yeah, we might want to be, you know, add the sexy and the hip, but mm-hmm. there's still, you know, that choir music and the church music and the tradition that
and if you
want to
get into the
holiday
spirit,
who we are, yeah.
that, you know, it's not, we're recording this a couple days before Thanksgiving, and I was walking and the Christmas music was already playing. So we're already in Christmas spirit.
I know. I did pull out my artificial tree. I haven't put it up yet. I'm like looking at it. I keep going back and forth. Is it too early? Is it not too early? So I'm not cooking it Thanksgiving at my house. Maybe I was cooking it. Mm-hmm. I would not put it up because I'd want to feel like, you know,
uh-huh.
having the turkey needs its day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, you know.
No, that's I totally get that. But you're right. Come out. Hear a little bit more about what Opera del Sol is all about. Get to experience it. Listen to some holiday music and sing along.
Exactly.
And it will be an awesome event.
And we're going to be popping up, and we have a whole bunch of really great events coming up. And like I said, I've got some really great meetings coming up with some collaborations and things like that. So
then they need to follow you on your social media.
Yeah,
so they can
Opera
keep
del
up.
Sol, D-E-L-S-O-L, of the Sun, Opera mm-hmm. of the Sun, and operadelsol.org. My email address is nicole@operadelsol.org.
Mm-hmm.
So reach out to me. I want to talk to you. I got some really great ideas. We got 300 years worth of stories to tell and some really funky, like I said, funky ideas. And within the audition process and just putting out there, I've gotten so many really cool people that reached out to me between our jugglers and contortionists and stomp dance routines and, you know, and Broadway singers. We've got some really great ideas coming up. So
look out for all the really cool things you're going to be doing in 2018,
yes,
too. So
yes.
Follow her on Facebook.
Yeah, and Instagram, Twitter, yeah.
All right, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or email her. Check out the website.
Albert Del Sol.
And Nicole, it was wonderful to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And everyone out there, we'll catch you with a new episode next year.
All right, next year. I know.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us here today on the Orlando Lady Boss podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please check it out on iTunes and Google Play to find all of our back episodes of other amazing Orlando women sharing their stories. While you're there, if you love what we do, please make sure to give us a 5-star rating. It will help others discover us too. You can also check out the blog, OrlandoLadyBoss.com, where you can find even more information about career, feminism, community building, and women-focused stories. If you're on social media, make sure to like me on Facebook at Facebook.com/OrlandoLadyBoss. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at OrlandoLadyBoss. And if you're a woman in Orlando doing cool things and making an impact in your own community, make sure you hashtag Orlando Lady Boss so we can share our stories together. And that's the episode. Until next time, stay strong and go out and make an impact in your own world.